Got a Bible with you, Romans chapter 8, very familiar portion of scripture. I've entitled this, for those who are recording it, Truth for the Post-Truthers. We were talking on the way down in the car, as we often do, and we're discussing a few odds and ends, and this phrase came out from scripture that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And as we are fast approaching the return of the Lord, then we really need to get a hold of the truth behind that, and that it's not a matter of taking someone else's opinion, someone else's doctrine, someone else's ideas or ideals, but it's about wrestling with the truth of the Word of God in our own circumstances, in our own lives, in our own situations, that we would apprehend that which is the very essence of what God is speaking. There's a lot of confusion out there. And when I put this sermon together this morning, I wasn't quite sure where it was, why this. But in retrospect now, after the conversation we had, I know where it's going. Because without a new mind, we will never work out our salvation in a correct manner. It'll always be flawed. It'll always be tainted. It'll always be subject to all manner of the things that are wrong within human nature. And so we need the new mind to be able to understand what it is fully that God has said. There are so many Christians out there, and it can include us, and it surely does at times, where we see the bandwagon and we fall for it. We go for the religious thing that's out there, but when you look at how Jesus responded, it was nothing like. Nothing like. And we're called to be disciples of him. And so we do need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we need a new mind. So with that in mind, let's read our scripture. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know that. You probably could quote that scripture without even reading it. But we know that we don't want condemnation, do we? And it's for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not for the world, that's for sure. It's not for those who are not walking according to the Spirit, but according to his Spirit we need to walk if we're going to find ourselves in a place of no condemnation. Now, that doesn't mean that no condemnation comes from the world. It might well do. Because often the truths of the Word of God are contrary to the ideals and truths of this world, but we will not receive condemnation from God. Your hearts and your minds will be clear, and you'll have a clear conscience, a clear understanding of what's, if we're walking according to the Spirit. So, the question arises, how do we walk according to the Spirit? If we're going to achieve that, and that's what the scripture actually goes on to say, and it has as much to do with our mind as it has to do with our actions. Because it comes mind first, actions second. Okay, let's go through the rest of the scripture. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So there we have what God has done in it all. There's God's part. That's what has been achieved through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're free from the law of death and sin, and so that we can walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. But there was a consequence, wasn't there? There had to be that death. There had to be that legal requirement taken care of, and the Lord did that. Then it goes on, verse 5, when it comes moreover to what we're involved in. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raises Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. But note right there in the central section of there, verse 5 through to verse 8, is talking about our thinking. It's about what you set your mind upon. That will set the direction to which your walk will travel. Okay. Many today say they've got saved. They don't get their mind saved. They don't get their wallet saved. You wonder what does get saved sometimes when you hear what goes out and pertains to be Christianity in this day and age. If you're going to live the Christian life successfully, our minds need to come under the effect of the Word of God and be delivered from the old fleshly thinking. For to be carnally minded is death. Okay, there are lots of crazy people in this world. You're only going to pick up a newspaper to begin to see how crazy the world is. You can see the likes like Joseph Fritzl, remember him? Trap people there. You go to famously Hitler, the likes of Pol Pot, and all these big awful people are out. But on a daily basis, those are the big ones that get all the headlines. But on a daily basis, you come across some quite nutty people, to put it subtly. I always remember when we were in Carlisle, a young man came in, I've probably told you this before, it just stands out in my mind as being so loopy. He came in and he said, I'm a singer, you know, I'm quite famous and good, and here's my tape of what I've done. And you could see he'd just taken off the label of this old cassette tape. We're going back a while, aren't we? Loop to loop thing. And he'd put his own little cover and a name and his name up on it, coloured in like crayon bits on it. And it's, oh, you liked it? And I said, I'll put it on, right, when I got home. That's quite good. No way was it him. No chance on this. But he was he's deluded enough to think that I'd be stupid enough to think that that was him. And it's just like, why? Why are you doing this? I could say, get up and sing, you know, and you'd be embarrassed because you would show what a bozo you really were. You know, it's just crazy. People are crazy. People do really stupid things. And you'll see it at work, you'll see it in the street, you'll see it in your family. And you think, I can't, you'll say these words, I can't believe what they just did. Why? Because you can't believe what they just did, or what they just said, or how they just acted. You see, we live in a generation of spiritual ignorance. It's all around, and unfortunately, it's also true in the church. Yeah. That's the saddest part of it all. According to one survey a few years back, and it's probably worse now, the average adult tells 200 lies a day. Now, that does include white lies and whatever you might call it. But 200 untruths. Now, how can you have a healthy mind if you're basing your whole way of thinking and projecting yourself in something that's not true? How can you do that? How can you have a healthy mind that's based on untruthfulness and deception? God built us. God made us. That's something that we Christians believe, that God made us. We didn't evolve from something or somewhere. The nice thing about science is you've got plenty of room and scope to change your mind all the time. One minute you can come from apes, next thing it's from sponges, next thing it's from, you know, you can, But the Bible is sure. God created man. And God knows our physical bodies. Scripture tells us, did I not knit you together in your mother's womb? It tells us that. And he also not just made our physical makeup, he made up our mental facilities as well. God understands our mind. You stay awake for 3 days and you're not going to be well, are you? If you don't eat for a few weeks, you're going to get very weak and sickly, and possibly, depending on your first state, if you're some of the bigger kinds of us, you might last a bit longer than that. But for some of the other ones of you, skinnier ones, you'll be struggling to live. You go without water for 2 weeks, you won't be here. It's things that's going to be there. That it stands to reason that these things happen. But people feed their mind on lies. They feed their minds on propaganda on a daily basis. I mean, it's got worse since the internet, hasn't it? What with conspiracy theories. I mean, the nuttiest things you could ever come across are out there. And it was a thing on the TV a few weeks ago about some women that had been accused of being paedophiles. You may have seen it, or you may not. And it was all lies. And yet this crazy woman was taking it off to the European court and all sorts of manner of things. She ended up being jailed for the lies she was, but still would not accept that what she's saying was not true. Even when they proved that the father of these children was the one who started it and coaching the kids to say stuff, they were still putting out these theories all over the place. You violate the facilities of your thinking that God has given you, and you'll get a damaged mind. Simple as that. Because society is establishing obtuse norms of behavior away from the Word of God, sick minds are prevalent. They are inevitably the outcome. And it's strange, isn't it? The problems with mental health service, and I think some of you have worked in this, is going up percentage-wise, and the availability of services is going down. So you've got a lot of nutters walking around out there. Have you not? Just not be subtle about it. It's true. There used to be a mental health hospitals. Do you remember them? If you're old enough. Used to be a huge one at Carlisle. And it's one in Winnick in Warrington. So it's all gone now, and it's part of the lock-up unit. But they put the real nutters. Am I being politically wrong here? Sorry. Never mind. The real people with mental problems. Deep scars. You see, when the norms and the processes of life and the thinking are basically deception, immorality, false standards of belief and behaviour, it's impossible to stay that way, to live that way, because God has created us differently. Yes, amen. It will cause you trouble. It will cause you mental upset because it goes against the very nature to which you were created to be like. Something inside is going to get sick. In verse 6, it's 7, sorry, it says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It's at war. It's at enmity. It's a fight with it. That fight's not a healthy fight. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you want a peaceful mind? Do you want to be, because we're all talking about, you know, lots of, The old hippie days, you know, it's all peace, man. You know, who's going to find peace, man? You're going to, you know, and find peace this way, find peace that way. Do anything to get peace. Well, they tried all manner of stuff. And fortunately, some of them actually looked into the Lord. There's a great movement of people getting saved in that generation. But a lot were lost. And continue to be trying to find peace in many, many different ways instead of finding peace through the truth. Amen. Okay. Carnal ways lead to death. And they will always be at war with God, but the spirit-filled mind will have life and peace. Yes. The scriptures are written with two Greek words, and I'm not going to try and go into what they were, but basically there's two words for the mindset. One has to do with the disposition, the way we are, the disposition you have, and the other has to do with the small thinking. Okay? The fractional thinking, the small things, will lead to your overall disposition. Yeah? Your whole, your temperament, as it were, is taken up by the multitude of small things that go to make that whole disposition. Yeah? Scriptures talk about that. Whatever you give your mind over to in your small fractional thinking, that is what will overall become, as I've said, your disposition. Ephesians 6:16, I'm trying to find my scripture, talks about that. It speaks of the whole armour of God. It talks about the fiery darts of the enemy that inflames our mind. Those things are going to come your way. And we need to have an understanding of maybe getting the shield of faith up before the darts hit us. But if they do hit us, as to what the understanding is from Scripture and how we can get out from under that inflaming that would come upon us. There was an interesting survey on mental health quite a few years ago. It must be 20 years ago, this. It said this, that 44% of people going to psychoanalysis were well within a year. 53% who went to a psychotherapist were well within a year. 61% who went to psychiatrists were well within a year. 73% of people that didn't go to any at all were well within a year. Think about it. It is a truth, though, that the best therapies are the listening therapies. People listen. You're as better off, you're as well to go to somebody who will listen to what you've got to say, and particularly it's from a scriptural point of view. For all the expense that you're likely to go to, the likes of Freud has been thoroughly debunked as well, for me it has anyway. People still quote it. That he had the most bizarre ideas that you could ever come across. We'll not go there. Let's have a look at the redeemed mind. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? The human mind is corrupt. Sin has twisted our minds at birth. A set of man-made rules for living isn't going to be the solution to the problem. Children teach us a lot of spiritual lessons. You ever watch kids playing, particularly games that have rules? Somehow, all of a sudden, and particularly if you own the game or the ball or whatever, the rules are fluid. They change according to how it's going for the individual and particularly how the strongest individual or the owner of the game is going. So it all changes, doesn't it? But people don't learn from that. They then grow up and they then get a church and they start and write a constitution. And the trouble is, at one point in time, the constitution is fine. But all of a sudden, someone new comes in or they die off and the next group go on. And they somehow alter the constitution to follow something else. We have one constitution and that's the word of God. That's not going to change, is it? And that's not going to be altered by fashions and fads. People try and get a rules for living. They have books. You read of hundreds of ways of living books. How to find peace for your mind. How to do this. How to do the other. And it's all a set of rules and regulations, isn't it? It's not going to alter it. What we need is God. Ephesians 2 and 3 says this, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We're no better. We're sinners saved by grace, you and I. Don't ever get above that. Don't get above yourself and start giving yourself highfalutin titles and ideas about what you are. You end up in self-righteousness, which is as bad as, if not worse, than a lot of other sins, isn't it? But we understand that we are sinners saved. We've got a corrupt nature, a corrupt mind. So we need a healthy mind that's got to be input by God. Philippians 3:19. It talks about the old man whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Where's your mind set? Is it on godly things or on earthly things? See, the answer isn't psychology. The answer is redemption. Amen. Romans 8:2. Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Free.
Hallelujah.
Deliverance is a word we use often in spiritual circles for this. Delivered from something. To be delivered is to be removed from it. You've once had it, but now it's gone. This isn't talking about a theory. This isn't talking about an idea. This is talking about the spiritual reality. And the spiritual, a spiritual emancipation, that's a good word. A spiritual release. Romans reads in verses 2 through 4. Let's read it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. In us, if we're not walking in the flesh. Okay, so that's good. You should be happy with that. The old man is put off. So, we have problems that we face in our minds. Let's not delude ourselves. It's another mindset thing, isn't it? Delusion. You and I are prone to fears, worry, deception, events from the past. They all, and sometimes events in the present as well, they all have a way to attack the mind, to bog down the mind, to hold us in captivity. But what we need to understand is the truth, because the truth is that which sets us free. Amen. Salvation is the answer. You can be religious and never saved, but we need a salvation, a freedom, and a deliverance to be able to put our mind straight and to live clean. Romans 12:2. Let's see if I've got that written somewhere else. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect and perfect will of God. A lot of people are confused about the will of God. The reason why they're confused is that they're trying to live by a set of rules and regulations that are religious. But actually, we live according to the Word of God and according to the Spirit of God. If we've got a mind that is set free, a mind which is open to God, a mind that is allowing the Spirit of God to work in us and to have that Word confirmed by the Word of God, you and I will know the direction into which we are meant to be going. Do not be... Okay, I'm losing my track here. I've got scriptures on one page and notes on another. Too many of us can find ourselves stuck in the old mindset. The mind is made up of three major phenomena. One is the emotions. One is the understanding. The other is the will. All need to be saved. All need to come under the Spirit of God. All need to be acting as in the new man. Our emotions. We've all got emotions, haven't we? Even the men have got emotions. Perhaps they don't show it quite so much, but we have emotions. They need to be allowed to be filtered through the Spirit. Do they not? We can't live off our emotions. Our emotions are up one minute and they're down the next, aren't they? And it's a lot of that's to do with chemicals in the body, isn't it? Hormones and the rest of it, they have effects. They're real. Don't any religious nutcase tell you that they're not real. They're real. They do have an effect on us, but still we have a ability to control. Secondly, understanding. We need to have that our understanding, again, filtered through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I think one of the most important is the will. Your choices. So much of being a Christian comes down to the small daily choices. In other words, behaviour. What we choose to do, what we choose not to do, the things that we ignore, the things that we take up. It's so much. It's a choice. It's a battle, a decision to do. Okay, a new mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? Scripture tells us. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? God wants to do it. God is able to do it. We need to have him do it. Okay. The blood of Jesus can purge us. Yes. We're coming up to Easter. This is part and parcel of what it's all about. The freedom and deliverance that the blood of Christ has actually brought to us. Not in theory, but in reality. You have to apprehend this stuff for real for yourself. Not just something that's stuck in your mind as a memory or an understanding or a theology. But the reality that Christ's blood can cleanse, has cleansed us. And can cleanse us. And is cleansing us. And that we can find deliverance from all manner of bad habits, of ideas, of thoughts. You have those thoughts that go round and round and round in your brain. Things, often they're accusations of the enemy. To the point of, what sort of Christian are you? Yeah? And somebody often say this, you often get unsaved people saying that just to get it, yeah? But it somehow has this echo in your head, doesn't it? What sort of Christian? And it has an effect. But, well, do you know what? I'll tell you what sort of Christian I am. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner that needs Christ's blood to atone for me. I'm a person that needs to be changed and to continue to change. I'm a person that continues to need the power of God in me. I'm a person who will continue to make mistakes of my own strength, but in God, I can do all things through him. Amen. All things become new. I like that, don't you? Because we've been involved in so much junk and rubbish and nonsense. And some people, evil. So many bad things. But now, then that's where we started. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those who are called and work according to his purposes. Are you walking in his purposes? We've got the ability to have a healthy mind. We have a means by which to have that healthy mind. And now we need to keep that mind healthy. There's certain things we can't and can do to keep a healthy mind. It's like when your physical body, isn't it? Certain things, some of us are on a diet. Some of us are not. Some of us have got to eat more of something. Some of us got to drink more water and do all manner of things. Some of us need to exercise. It's all that stuff, isn't it? To keep the physical, well, it's the same with our mind. There are things we need to do and things we shouldn't do with our mind. You see, your disposition until the day you got saved was made up of all the stuff that went on before. You bring that baggage with you in your mind. It's not like there's a nice phrase that people say, you're brainwashed. So yes, it's been washed in the blood of the Lord. I know that one comes out. But actually, when you get saved, it doesn't actually all go and your mind stop remembering stuff from the past, does it?
No.
And the enemy has a way of getting his big grab and dredging up the muck, doesn't he? And reminding you of that, and saying, "This don't you kind of look you're in that." And they all see you in that church, and you look so good and so spiritual, and so and this is what you're really like. Yeah, don't fall for the lie. You can happily say, "You know what? I used to be.
Yes.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And look at the change that the Lord has brought in my life. I've come from that to this. And I'm going on from glory to glory. I'm not sticking here. I'm going on. You see, your disposition could be there. You, in effect, you were delivered, but there is still deliverance to be done, isn't there? Otherwise, you'd have had to have your mind erased. All past gone. It doesn't do that. It's about these lies, this stupid Ken Dodd idea of forgive and forget. You can forgive, but to forget is something else. It's not scriptural. Sometimes we have to reach a particular place of growth. And God does this on an individual basis because he knows us. Again, we come back to that, him knitting us together. He knows our needs and he knows what we can take at particular times to take us past some of the difficulties and the problems that we've been dogged with in our life. Yes. And we say, God, deal with this. And God says, well, I'm dealing with this right now. And you say, no, it is. No, this. And if we will go and walk with God, you'll sometimes find that disappears as you do. I've found some of that in my life sometimes. Other times, we're not ready and God deals with other things and then brings us back to a place. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this many times in other people's lives. And people have trying to help sometimes in discussion with people, saying, well, this is really what the problem is. And it's, oh, no, it's this. It's something else. And they aren't ready. But God knows when the right timing is, and he brings us to those places to bring us deliverance. Further deliverance. Why? Because we're in a process, you and I. We are work in hand. We're not complete. We are, but we're not. Do you know what I'm saying? We're complete in him. His blood has atoned for us. We are completely saved, but we are being saved.
Yes.
Yeah? So that's what we're involved in our lifestyle. And part of that is the way that we think. If we want life and peace, it has to come in obedience to the word of God. It has to be filtered. The things that we hear, the things that we see in society, the things that bug us, the things that get us down, the things that, the worst thing, I guess, is that to which we have an inclination towards. Do you know how the enemy brings out, particularly in the realm of religion, we have different inclinations to certain elements within what we hear in around us, in different churches, in different teachings, or things you hear on the radio, things you see. And we'll see it, we'll go, oh yes, that's it. And we've gone off the carnal mind, yeah? And we've gone in hook, line and sinker, then every time you're looking at it, the algorithms reinforce it, don't they? You keep reading the same stuff. Yeah, oh yes, that's right. And so-and-so said this as well, didn't they? Forget so-and-so, that's what they are. What does the word of God have to say?
Amen.
What is the balance of the word of God? I'm going to look at this a lot more in the next week or so, because not next week, we're going to have Easter and we're going to have communion, but after that, we need to be prepared.
Yes.
God is preparing us for what is to come. All right? He's able to keep us. But you may even find yourself, as Rose says, you might find yourself in court for being a Christian one day. And it says in the scripture that he will give you the ability to have remembrance of the things gone before. But to remember something, it's had to go in the first place. This is what we're on about now. We're talking about the preparation of what's going in the first place so that we have a correct understanding, that we fight the right battles. There's a lot of Christians fighting the wrong battles today. It is indeed sad. It's a shame. A waste of time and energy when we could be declaring the truth of God and what God has done and how he can bring real deliverance to real lives.
Amen.
So you and I, we've got a lot to learn. Here I am, 69. Got a lot to learn. There's a guy on the till at Home Bargains. It's, how are you, young man, every time. I must be older than him. It's like, that's just, you're having a laugh, you are. But he's always very positive. But we have a lot to learn. We have. And so, God help us. God help us to do and to be, to have the right mindset, to feed your mind on the small things that are right. Yes. So that your whole disposition may be right. Amen? Amen. Let's leave it there. Let's pray this morning.